hit myself in the head with my...
Don't you hate when... Oh, you don't know because you don't do it. Never mind.
So, guys, we have a little package that we received in the mail.
I love a good package.
Oh, Josh, we've heard.
We know, Josh.
Now, it says Mystery Inc., care of Kimberly Morrow.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It had my name on it.
I don't know if it's all going to be stuff for you. I wish someone would just send me something. I mean, she's gotten gifts in the mail.
Yeah. I'm several times.
And I actually remember the light thing that somebody had sent me. I used that when we went to Kentucky.
Yeah, you did. Boy, this person sent us a lot of stuff. Please do not read on the podcast. All right. We won't read that on the podcast. We'll follow the rules. All right. Boy, I'm telling you, they sent us a whole letter. This person, I'm assuming it's a woman. I don't know why. They write. Mm. It reminds me of Josh's handwriting.
I was just seeing the back of it. I'm like, did I write that?
Mary, M-E-R-R-I.
Mary, I have the same exact handwriting.
She's the one that just got the CrimeCon
badge. Yeah, I saw that. She's going to meet us at CrimeCon.
Yeah, I'm super excited to meet her.
All right.
That's so funny.
I know.
I've never seen anybody with my handwriting. No,
it looks like a serial killer. Shane, Josh, and Kim. Thank you for all the joy and laughter you bring to all of us in the gang. Did you know that there are longhorn cattle living on the Johnson Space Center in Houston? I did not know that.
No, I didn't know that.
They are part of a program called the Longhorn Project. Myself and my awesome coworkers are lucky enough to teach students in four areas on field trips. We have Rocket Park, where they learn NASA history. The barn, where they interact with and learn about the longhorns. The garden, where they learn about plants and the world around them. And also a lab, where they learn about food webs. I have included a flyer with more info and a postcard of Rocket Park and of a longhorn also. Aww. It is a fun job, and I enjoy teaching the students about the natural world. I have included postcards from some of my travels this past year and a few little trinkets for my favorite podcast crew.
Aww, thank you,
that
Mary.
That is so kind of you.
Thank you so much.
And the next time that we are down in Florida, we're going to have to meet up with Mary.
Oh, she's not in Florida. She's in Texas.
Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's Texas, isn't it?
Yes.
But, Shane and Kim can meet you in Texas.
No, we will meet her at CrimeCon in Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, is she the one that messaged us? Yeah. Mm-hmm. About the...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, when she asked for tips on CrimeCon, I was like, comfortable shoes and bring a sweater because those rooms get cold.
Yeah, right. I didn't even...
She sent us a whole form that tells us all about the Longhorn Project at Johnson Space Center.
There's a QR code. Cool. We can watch a video.
Yeah, I will...
See, she's in Houston.
We'll have to learn more about that.
Is that where that other CrimeCon was at? Was it in Houston?
No, it was Dallas.
It was Dallas.
But we were in Houston when we went to... That little crime con thing. That's probably what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Little event thing they had in that lab. What was that lab called? The lab was called something. Anyway, it was so, so good and so important. Oh, wow. These are really cool postcards. So one of the postcards says Texas, the Lone Star State.
Ooh.
So look pretty. At that.
A yellow horns rose on that Texas, thing. Indeed. Mm-hmm. Longhorns are so cool. And they look like an ancient. Cow.
And then the other one is the restored Saturn V rocket.
That's Kim's vibrator.
Yes, it is.
Look at that big.
A giant launch vehicle is 363 feet.
Have you ever been to the one in Florida?
That's how she likes it.
No.
The Space Center in Florida?
Mm-mm.
I've been there a few times. It's really cool.
I'd like to go. That's where I saw them sending off space shuttles. Yeah. And speaking of... Those astronauts are still on the International Space Station.
Yeah, I saw their Christmas thing.
Isn't it supposed to be February something that they're coming back?
Well, more people have come, and they've had, more people have come up to the ISS, and they've even left. So they've had opportunity to leave, but because of their mission was extended until March, now they have reason to stay.
Mm.
So they're not necessarily, stuck up there. And they've had, they get replenished missions for supplies and their Christmas video. Did you guys see that?
I didn't see it.
They had Christmas hats on and other astronauts were there with them.
That's cool. Just don't send a Boeing to come get me.
Oh, Scooby.
A little Scooby magnet. Isn't
how
that cute?
Oh, how cute.
Yeah.
Will it stick on one of them poles?
Oh, I bet. We'll find out. Nope. All right. Then we got, ooh, a bunch of stickers.
Stickers.
Yeah.
With Mystery stickers. Machine and Scooby, stickers. Shaggy, and the whole game.
I think my first trauma involved Shane and stickers.
Oh, this is funny.
Did you see that I'm using my Mystery
Machine and it fits in very
Subway
well.
Subway gift card. Kim,
it has.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
That was so nice
That
of
is
her.
So nice.
She gonna get a tuna.
Josh.
Hey.
Happy very belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
That is so cute.
Mine's more belated than yours.
Right.
Yeah, that's TJ Maxx. Hell and then
this is a postcard sending you sassy kisses from California when she went to Disney.
Emily was obsessed with Tinkerbell when she was little.
And she went to Disneyland. When I was in California, I drove by Disneyland.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I thought about that the other day. I was like, you know your kid's gay if he's obsessed with Tinkerbell and if he plays the pink Power Ranger when he's playing
Was you at any of those places that the fire has affected? When you went to California,
oh yeah,
crazy! Oh my god!
I mean, I was all around. I was all around LA.
And I feel so bad for them.
I'll talk about this in a minute, but the film crew that I was with, most of them were from LA. The ones who wasn't were from Australia. But yeah, they were getting text messages and things from their family and friends the whole time. All right, so Mary also sent us. This is a really cool postcard. It says New Orleans in the mist. So there's a lot of like misty photos.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
I want to go to New Orleans.
And she said, visited NOLA and ate at the Vampire Cafe.
Ooh.
And went to a voodoo museum.
I want
to
go back there so bad.
I mean, I have the Eiffel Tower on me, so I have a little obsession with France. And I feel like New Orleans is the most French city in America.
Yeah.
The French Quarter is beautiful.
Aww.
It's so beautiful.
So this postcard has little animals on it. It says, Barizona. She visited Arizona, which is home for me.
Are those the coyotes?
Are so cute.
That's where coyotes? I want to retire.
I'm not sure what
I'm
they
guessing
are.
Since they're, it says, well, let me see. I can't.
They look like coyotes to me.
They're little babies.
Well, from the side, I was like, I'm guessing they're bears since it says bear. Right.
That is not a bear.
No.
Joshua.
Those are not.
Yeah,
those are,
that is definitely not a bear.
Right.
How cute.
Well, thank you, Mary. That was very kind of you.
I want to retire in Arizona. If it wasn't such a red state, I'd like it more.
Right.
How cute little puppies. Oh, I'm getting puppy fever.
I had one run out in front of me last night on my way home from Emily's house.
A coyote.
Yeah.
Did you kill it?
No. Oh. I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that must be a coyote.
They're scary.
So
in packs.
As I just mentioned, and I teased it in our last week's episode.
Yeah.
I had gone to Tennessee because of a film crew. Now, I'm going to set this all up because I ended up realizing that Josh didn't know about it. And I was about to post pictures
Shane's
in Patreon.
In a porno. No.
Right. Well, I did get filmed in a hotel.
He's just a delivery man.
But anyway, so on Monday, I get contacted by this Amazon Prime team. And they're like, hey, Shane, we are going to be shooting a documentary and we would like to have you be one of our main people in it. Are you interested? And I was like,
duh.
Let me think about that. Sure.
Does the cat have an ass?
Right. And they're like, would you be willing to come down to Tennessee? We will reimburse you for the drive and the hotels and everything. So I was like, yeah, cool. Because like if you're a part of a documentary, they don't pay you. Mm-hmm. And they don't, and like, typically, you don't get reimbursed for things either, but I mean, it's Amazon, I guess, and you know, they got a little money or something. So by Tuesday, I packed up everything and started driving down to Tennessee.
And left without his producer because she has a big girl job. And I know.
Kim was so mad.
The day before.
Yeah.
If I had known the day before, you better believe I would have said, hey, I'm taking a couple days
Which
off.
Is why I forgot to tell you because as soon as I got off the phone with them, I'm like, okay, I have homework I have to finish. I have to pack. Do I have enough podcast stuff finished? So, I mean, I was just in a hurry to leave. In fact, I was running a little late the next morning trying to get out and get things done. But anyway, so by Tuesday, I'm on the road down to Tennessee. It's a little bit more than 10 hours of a drive to that part of Tennessee. And I was staying overnight for both the nights that I was down there in Bristol, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Bristol is unique because the downtown street, which is where my hotel was, is on the state line of Virginia and Tennessee. Oh, okay. So the side that I stayed on was Bristol, Virginia. But the other side of the street was Bristol, Tennessee.
How funny.
Yeah. And my hotel was so
It looked
cute.
Really cool. Was yeah. that a record player on the back?
Yeah. So Bristol is famous for it being the birthplace of country music.
Okay.
So they had a
and
radio
it also
station.
Has a racetrack.
Yeah. Yes, I saw it. I drove by it. They have a casino there,
mile
too.
Or something. Half mile,
I believe you. But anyway, so I stayed at this hotel called The Sessions. And each room is designed so that it looks like it's very musical. And what I was told is the reason they call it The Sessions is because they used to record in that building. It's like a big old building, but it was really cool. But anyway, so the next morning was our first recording, and we were going to, at some point in the day, record at a school. So I'm dead asleep. I drove the Cybertruck down. I wake up in the morning, and I got this text message from one of the film crew, and they said, "Hey, Shane, all the schools are closed down today. Are you still comfortable driving? If you're not, let us know, and we'll send someone to pick you up." I read that, and I thought, oh, my God. They just got, like, 10 feet of snow. Like, I thought that was what we were talking about. I go open the window, and there's a light dusting.
Yeah, but they're from Los Angeles. That's
yes
a blizzard.
Tennessee doesn't usually get a lot of snow.
But they closed down. Yeah, and so they closed down. And what I was told is, like, that area does not have plows or anything.
That's the same way with Gatlinburg.
They don't get a lot of snow.
Yeah.
And when they do get some snow, they shut down schools and businesses shut down because they're just not used to it, first of all, and they don't have anything to help get rid of it. So right. things just turn really icy, I guess. But I responded, I was like, yeah, I have no problem. Like, I'm from
Northern Indiana. Yeah,
we get feet of snow and we still have to get places.
You know? Yeah, right. Gatlinburg is the exact same way. They don't have plows there either.
Right. It is bizarre to me. It was funny. But anyway, so we had a great 2 days of filming. I filmed in a lot of different places, talking to a lot of people. And you know how when you watch a documentary, there are these shots that they do of like, where they're one-on-one questioning you in a separate space. So they brought me to this hotel room. So they reserved a special hotel room for filming. We go and open the door. It's in Johnson City, Tennessee. Kim, it's actually the same hotel that you and I had stayed at before when we ran into
the Weight Watchers group.
The Weight Watchers group.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we get there. And do you remember those yellow walls in our hotel room?
Oh, man, that's been
it's
a
like
few
a
years ago.
Dirty yellow.
Yeah,
it's very
I think
bizarre.
I remember.
So as soon as we open the door, that yellow pops at you, and you're like, "Oh, who hurt you?" You
who
know,
pissed all
like,
over the whole
and who chose this collar? It's not like a sunshine yellow. It's like a mustard
color.
Yellow. Yeah, it's not. And it's too bright to be mustard. Like it's just, it's very bizarre. It's ugly. And the producer and the director were both like, "We're going to have to figure this out because this is not a good collar to film on." Yeah. So they did enough lighting and they put me in front, like halfway in front of a window so that they could try to drown out that yellow. And with the lighting, I think it worked well. So they got that figured out. And then we recorded again for the entire next day. So I didn't end up coming back towards home until Thursday evening. So I ended up staying the night in Cincinnati. It was actually in Florence. Was where my hotel was. But I learned a couple things on this trip. One of them is I am fully aware that some people do not like Cybertrucks. Don't buy one.
Right.
You know, I would never own a Traverse. Don't care for how they look. Too much room for me. But I'm not gonna give someone
you?
A hard time for buying one.
How dare you talk about my
baby? I'm just
baby
not gonna
like
buy
that.
One, you know?
You're not gonna flip someone off.
Yeah. And I got flipped off many times. There was this truck which really got me going because this truck flew by me. He lifts out his entire half side of his body to flip me off after like cutting me off.
Oh my God.
And I thought, how do you know that I'm not a serial killer and I'm not gonna
right.
follow you home
the balls
and slit your throat?
Have.
So after I left his house, I flattened his tires, you know.
Well, especially in Tennessee, that's the area where coal mine camps, and they have a generational like hate against anything that's not coal mine and gasoline.
And my whole thing is you don't know who has a gun now.
No, you don't.
So you flip me off, cut me off. How do you know you're not going to get shot?
I mean, it's probably a safe bet. A Tesla driver probably ain't going to have a
gun. There are, though. I mean, there are you know, gun people who drive Teslas, I'm sure.
Could you imagine trying to stop one, and a guy gets out with a big old cowboy hat on and a six-shooter on his hip?
So at one charging station, which I was one of the things that Kim and I had done before when we started it on one of our trips was do like this thing that we call travel with me. So I started doing that on Patreon. Patrons could like stop at little stops with me. And I was posting photos telling them where I were and what I was doing and like pictures of the film crew and what we were filming that day and all these different stops I had to stop at. Well, I was stopped at, and Kim, we have stopped here at this location. It was next to a Meijer. You remember, like, we parked there, started charging. We walked over to that one restaurant that we ate at.
Was it with Jerry and?
No. Yeah. It was just you and I that day. It was, I think that was the first time I had been to one in many years. It was kind of like it was a steakhouse of some kind.
Logan's?
No, it wasn't a steakhouse. It was. I can't remember the name
of it. Where are you talking about? What city?
It is near Cincinnati. It's in Cincinnati. Remember, we parked there and we walked around to that place. Was it Chili's?
Maybe. Yeah. It was a Chili's. Yeah.
Because I hadn't been at a Chili's in many years up until that point. But anyway, I start charging there and plug in. The chargers are always like a good distance away from the front door of Meijer. They put it in like the back of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So I plug in and start walking. And by the time I got to the door, someone in this small S10 followed me all the way to the door.
Oh my God.
They rolled down their window and these two men were in it. And they yell, "Nice Cybertruck, asshole," and flips me off. And I just stop and look at them, and I was just like,
"What in the flat earther is happening?
Did I rent that much space in your head today that you felt like you had to drive around the parking lot until I got to the front door to yell at me?
You were walking.
Yeah, I was walking.
So
into
they
the front
knew
door.
How tall you were.
Yeah, but they were safe in their vehicle. How these little boys are. But and I just thought like. What is wrong with these people? Like, if you don't like the vehicle, don't buy it. Right. They probably can't afford it. But that's not my problem.
And there are conspiracies that climate change isn't real and it's all Biden and the Democrats and anything that's not coal and gas. Right. And
well, my thing
anything
is,
that's trying to improve our planet is the enemy.
Sure.
Well, of course, it's not real. That's why this year has been the hottest year on record.
Right.
Well, you could call me.
Wildfires and California.
You can call me a horrible person, but I did not buy my first Tesla because of the environment. I bought it because it's fast. I bought it because it's convenient. I can charge at my house and I can leave and then just plug it in when I get home. I hate gas stations.
The environment's just a benefit.
Yeah. It's a lot cheaper to fuel. And I love traveling. And I love traveling in them because I can just park, charge, and get some walking in. I love that feature.
It's like having. Just from when we've traveled and the Mystery Machine Tesla, it felt like a private jet.
Yeah.
As any car I've been in, like it just feels like you're in a nice little secluded pod.
Yeah.
And you do feel safer. The little alarms and dings take me a little
that's
while.
That's from
to
self-driving.
Get used to.
Yeah.
I'm still like, when I first get in, I'm like,
But I also love the minimalism. Yeah. Of Teslas. Like, that is my type of style, is minimalism, clean. I enjoy all of that. So
I just think it's so
I
funny
buy
they
it,
follow you.
Right. And flip me off and all these things. But I buy it because I like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it. But why care about what other people are driving? Like that I think that it doesn't upset
people
me. It
really
makes me laugh.
Some people just ain't got a lot going on.
Evidently not.
All they
are so bored.
They're fueled by Facebook and
fake videos.
all the just misinformation and propaganda and just all this bullshit that I'm guessing they were probably older gentlemen.
I didn't look at them long enough. But the Amazon film documentary crew, they're going to come up here at some point in time. Awesome. They're going to call me on Monday so that I can get that, so we can get that scheduled. And then we have some more trips that we have to go on that they're going to film me on. Boy, I hope that maybe it would be cool if I could talk them into doing a little filming of us recording Mystery Inc. in the bunker. Oh, yeah. Just to try to sneak my best friend and my brother into it. You know?
Get some free publicity.
Right. Okay. So yesterday was what we call date night among my friends here in Wabash, where we have a big group of people. You don't have to be married. You don't have to be dating.
Honey, that's all an orgy if it's a big old bunch of group.
But we all just get together and we dress up nice and we go and find a new place that we've never been to, you know, like stores or restaurants.
Yeah.
So the trip that we took yesterday.
Josh was my date one time when we went.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Where did we all go that time?
Amazing Joe's.
That's right. We were in Muncie.
Downtown Muncie.
All right. And so one of the things we always do is we always go to the downtown and we take a picture of all of us in front of the courthouse. So this time, another thing that we end up doing is one person will design what we're all going to do for that trip. And then it's someone else's turn for the next month. So we just do it monthly. Oh. So for this one, we went to Kokomo. Which I've been to Kokomo many times, but I've never been downtown. And it is so cute.
I don't think I've ever been downtown. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus 2 times O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. But before we got downtown, we right next to downtown, we visited this old antique store. Now, this antique store is one of the most impressive that I've ever been in. It's in an old glass factory. Mm. The glass factory was 4 stories tall, but they used 3 stories for the antique store. And they had some really cool stuff. I don't know if you saw the pictures that I put on Patreon, but as soon as I walked in, there was this big statue of Betty Boop, and it reminded me of our grandma because she loved Betty Boop. Oh my gosh, they had so much random stuff, some cool stuff. They had this large wooden, you know how in Gatlinburg, they like shave wood in the shape of bears? Mm-hmm. Well, they had a Bigfoot.
Ooh.
A huge Bigfoot. Oh,
really? That's better than a bear.
I wanted it, but it was like $800. And I'm like, I love it. I don't love it, $800. Mm-hmm. And that's my thing with antique stores. Like, I always see something that I like. And I'm like, oh, I might buy this. And then I look at the price tag and I'm like, I like this $10. I don't like it $20 or $50. You know, like there are some of those things, they really price up. But I saw some weird stuff.
I've seen one of those Bigfoots before. Somebody, someplace, somewhere around has one because I've seen one before.
I've seen metal ones.
Oh, yeah. They had some of those. They had some metal ones, like flat metal ones.
Yeah.
But this one was like wooden and full. It was huge. Yeah, it was
made out of a tree trunk.
Yeah. Well, there was some weird stuff that they had there. One of the weird things is they had really weird possessed looking dolls. Oh. And some of the dolls looked like they had real human hair.
Never buy a doll from an antique store.
Oh, no, but I took some pictures of some.
Haunted.
I put on Patreon.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get ghosts.
But I'm telling you, and they also had this really cool, I kind of wanted it. Maybe I'll go back and get it. But they had this really cool, like, you know how, like, in some people's gardens, they have a large entrance?
Yeah.
Well, it was made out of like cast iron, and out of words at the top, it said like Secret Garden.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it was, and it's old and iron. It looked really cool and really scary. I might make a secret garden around the top of the bunker. You never know, Kim. It might be where you're buried because you can't afford a plot. But I really liked it. After we left there, we went to this Irish restaurant that's downtown in Kokomo. It was so
potatoes, cabbage, and corned beef.
Now, one of the things I learned about these Irish restaurants is, first of all, the inside of them are really nice. Like, designed, thoughtful, and old. Like, old wood, little knobs here and there. It was just designed really cool. I highly recommend going. But be prepared and know that you need to get an appetizer, because they are on their own time.
Oh.
And isn't there a phrase called like an Irish goodbye or something?
Yeah, where, that's my favorite way to leave a place. You just kind of sneak away.
I thought you that it meant that they were like, you were trying to get them to leave, but they wouldn't leave and it would take forever.
No, Irish goodbye is where you just kind of slip away without saying anything.
No.
Well, you learn something new every day, because I thought it took forever. And I thought, well, this meal is taking forever. But it's nice if you're there with friends, because you just are all talking and having a good time.
Don't go starving.
Get an appetizer. The appetizers came, and then we had to wait a long time for the food. But like I said, very good. I would 100% go back. I had gotten grilled chicken tenders that were so delicious. And then you order your sauce that authentic. You want. Yeah. And then you order a sauce, and I asked for a side of ranch, and they gave me a whole bowl of ranch. Ooh. I was like, this place is not holding their punches.
This is the difference between me and Shane. He went to an Irish restaurant and got chicken fingers and ranch. They were
grilled and delicious.
I would never.
I was looking for something grilled. They had like, you know, sausage and, you know, potatoes, you know, the mash thing and sauerkraut and all those things. But I didn't want to, you know, have a heartburn or anything like that. But across the street from, this is right across the street from the courthouse downtown. Across the other side, there's an old record store. Ooh. And that's where I bought my records from.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at those.
Yeah, so I bought, did you see?
Yeah, Dolly and Porter.
Yes, I saw that and I'm like, that is now mine. I got two records, old records of Elvis, two from Jerry Lee Lewis. A lot of them were from Sun Studios during their time at Sun, so I thought that was really cool.
That is cool.
Just because I've been there.
Yeah, that was my favorite hometown history.
Mm-hmm. I loved
it. Place that we've gone.
And then I got two Johnny Cash ones, but one of them has multiple in it. It's a lot of songs of his. So they were all,
Do you have a record player?
Yeah. Yeah. They're sitting on top of my record player. But I saw the Port Wagner one and Dolly, and I'm like, oh, this is mine. I'm taking it.
We saw his gravesite.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Eventually.
Yeah, once we finally found it.
Right. But no, we had a really good time. So I would definitely go back to that record store, because I didn't, you know, you're in a record store for so long, then you're like, okay, I'm good now, you know.
There's so many to look at.
Yeah. But it was so cool. But next to the record store, there is a really cool, large toy store that was closed that I need to go back. I looked in the window, and you could see, like, these cool older style toys just stacked to the ceiling in these huge bins and things. But it was so impressive looking. They had really unique toys, like older style toys, but also they probably have newer stuff. I don't know. But it just looks so cool. I just want to go there. So that's going to be the next thing that I do when I go to Kokomo. I'm going to be like, I'm going to this toy store.
I want
to
go.
I only go to Kokomo for the pet store, and then I go to Sonic afterwards.
Yes, I have been to that Sonic. Although I don't get their food, I get just something to drink.
I get their corn dogs and an ocean water. That's my usual.
Yeah. I also, this is a little gift for me to all of you today.
Lord help us.
The one thing, like in all of last year, the one item that I feel like was the best purchase that I have made the entire year is a towel warmer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys have one?
No, but I've used them before.
You need to buy one.
He's got a bidet now, too.
Yeah, but listen, you can buy them for really cheap. Mine's not an expensive model. But when I first got it, I thought, you know, this would be nice when it's really cold out. Because, you know, sometimes you get out of the shower and it's just, you just can't get warm again. I'm telling you, I'm using it every time I shower. There's just something about getting a hot towel and putting it on your body that just soothes you. Like, It is just this comfort that is just indescribable. I highly recommend everyone. Now, treat yourself. It is a new year, new you. Get you a towel warmer. It is so nice.
I'll just
I would have nowhere to put one
in the dryer before I get in. And
well, that uses too much electricity. Then you have to go out to the dryer. This you just put right next to the shower.
To flop out.
I have no place to put.
Open the bin, grab your towel, and it's nice, hot, and warm.
Yeah,
hot and ready.
They're real little. My bathroom's too small. They have small ones you can put right next to your toilet.
Right where the trash can goes?
Listen. You try it one time, you realize.
That bathroom could use a redecorate. It looks about 1970.
Yes. It looks like 1960s.
If you're
But once you try it, you're not going to
70s, because that's when it was remodeled.
I was going to say, if your porcelain is colored, it's time to get a remodel.
Oh, trust me. It needs remodeled horribly.
But. If you got a pink, a yellow, green, blue toilet, it's time for a new one.
Well, mine isn't. Mine are white, but it just, well, the sink basin has green running through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's marble.
And if you remodel, please get a taller one. Sink. Every time I'm in there, I'm breaking my back. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know they made sinks down this low. I feel like
Buddy the Elf living in the elf's house.
Even her toilet feels like I'm sitting on the ground.
You actually think that I'm going to make it your height so that I'm having to stand on my tiptoes? I didn't say
make it my height. Make it normal. Have a normal. That is not normal. That is not a normal one.
Whatever.
Okay, guys. So I've had a couple weekly annoyances this week that I want to share with you.
Let us know. Tell us.
Yeah. One of them, I'm on this trip. I'm in Tennessee. I'm on an elevator going to the third floor. Someone else gets on this elevator going to the second floor. They continually push the second floor button.
Oh. Once is enough.
Why?
I don't know.
It's not going to make it go any faster.
And the second the button lit up and they're... I'm like, did I fart in here? That you feel like the need of trying to make this elevator go quicker is not going to work.
They have to push it 50 times.
Maybe.
It was so annoying. I had this urge of just throwing my water on them. Like,
well, it's kind of rude. Like, I ain't gonna hurt you.
Yeah, I know.
That's awful.
It just annoyed the crap out of me. Another one.
I would have pushed my floor button next to him.
Another one. I feel like Apple is playing pranks on me because I bitch about them a lot. I'm in my hotel room. I was going to play some music. Well, I brought this little Bluetooth speaker with me because I was going to bring it into the shower so I can listen to music and stuff. Well, I go to connect it, and evidently it connected to a different Bluetooth device.
Ooh, fun.
I start playing music, and it says it's playing music. But for some reason, it is not my Bluetooth device. Oh, I have no idea whose Bluetooth device it connected to.
One of your neighbors.
Right. But they were suddenly listening to my Countdown 1000 country music songs. And I just thought, why in the world would this connect to something that I've never connected to?
Right.
If I've turned my speaker on and it's connected to that many times, why would it not have just selected that? It was very bizarre. It annoyed the crap out of me. I was embarrassed because I thought I could have just woken someone up. You know, like this was really early in the morning.
They're like dead asleep.
Right. All right. And before I get into my mystery today, I have a couple words and phrases for Barbara's Flapdoodle Fest. The first one is flim-flammery.
Flim-flammery.
Flim-flammery. What do you guys think that word means? Foolery. Flim-flammery.
Something dumb you're getting into. Yeah. A scheme.
Foolish.
So it means to be deceptive, nonsense, or trickery. And this word comes from the term flimflam, which originated in the 16th century as a playful way to describe deception or trickery. The added ery gives it an extra slice of silliness. My next word, a mugwump.
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 Do you have a sentence for that?
Sounds like it needs an antibiotic.
So, a mugwump. This is someone who remains neutral or independent, specifically in politics.
Okay.
So, it originated from Native American Algonquian language, meaning an important person, but it became a political term in the late 19th century for fence sitters. Do you guys know that term? fence sitter is someone who will always refuse to take a side. Mm-hmm. They just always just, oh no, I'm going to sit this out. Yeah. Or, you know, do you want potatoes or do you want macaroni and cheese? Oh, I don't want either of them. I just can't choose. They're both so good. And I can see why someone would choose both of them.
Make a decision.
Yeah, just pick a direction. All right. And I have a couple phrases. That dog won't hunt. That dog won't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an idea or an argument that will not hold up or work. It comes from the American South, and it references hunting dogs. If a dog isn't good at hunting, it's useless.
Yeah.
That's what they thought.
It's so like if I'm on a date and he's like, do you want White Castle? That dog won't hunt.
That dog won't hunt.
Nope.
Mm-mm. All hat, no cattle. You know what that means?
All hat, no cattle.
All hat, no cattle.
Too many supervisors.
Means they're like...
too many people in control. Not enough people working underneath them.
When they look like something, but they aren't.
Close. So it's someone who talks big, but doesn't deliver.
Mm.
He's all hat and no cattle. But it originated in Texas cattle country, and it would mock people who wear cowboy hats, but don't own any cattle.
Like any tourist going to Texas.
Mm-hmm. Implying they're just pretending to be something they're not. All hat and no cattle.
It makes me think of when I was a kid, my grandparents would always say, too many chiefs and not enough Indians.
Mm.
Too many people that's
making choices.
Not enough people to carry out those choices.
Yeah.
It's like those men that wear Carhartt boots.
Oh, yeah.
And most men that I've ever known who wear those work at like a factory or outside in construction, and they actually need the boots so that, you know, they're steel toed and keep their feet warm. But then you see guys that wear them for fashion and don't let them
they
get
work
dirty
in an office.
And muddy, and they always look brand new. I'm like, the poser.
All right. My last phrase is probably one of my favorites. Madder than a wet hen.
Madder than a wet hen.
That's madder than a wet hen.
Really, really mad.
Yeah.
When you get her excited and wet and then just walk off.
So it means to be extremely angry. And it actually refers to the practice of dunking hens in water to calm them when they're broody.
Yeah.
Or broody.
Broody.
Broody. And that means if they're not laying eggs. So wet hens tend to get irritable. Hence that comparison. Madder than a wet hen.
I've heard of madder than a wet cat, but not a hen.
Madder than a wet hen.
I know you could put hens in warm water if they're like egg bound or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, guys. So my mystery today, I'm taking us to Oakville, which is a small town in Gray Harbors County, Washington.
Washington.
Oh. We're going to Washington State.
We're going to Washington. Can we go see
Michelle
Forks while we're there and Michelle?
Yeah,
yeah, I'd love to see Michelle.
All right. So Oakville lies about 80 to 90 miles southwest of Seattle, which is, of course, the largest city in Washington. The drive will typically take an hour and a half to 2 hours from Washington, depending on traffic and the route that you take.
From Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah. With a population in the low hundreds, Oakville has maintained a strong sense of community among their little selves over the years. The region's economy is traditionally based on logging and farming, which reflects that rural character of the area.
I'm sold. That means big, burly, muscly men with beards. Loggers.
Right.
Yes, please.
Hello, Daddy.
Brawny men. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oakville is known for its timber heritage, its farmland, and its outdoor recreational areas.
I'm guessing oak trees.
Yeah, there. It's always nearby.
Better be oak trees.
If it's walnuts,
I'm going to be pissed.
Well, the 1994 events, however, have gained the town the most widespread attention. So that's what it's most known for now. Okay. 94.
I don't remember. I was just a baby.
Just a child.
Whatever.
So late July to early August in 1994 is the time period we're going to be in. The period that led up to the date, August 7th, which is the first time this event happens.
And that's my birthday.
Oh, yes.
Thought that rung a bell.
The period that led up to that was typical of that Pacific Northwest summer. The weather was mild. The temperature was mild. There was some light rain. But overall, there were no major anomalies that had been reported. before this entire event started. Now, in the nearby areas, there were rumors at the time that there were military drills that were happening, and some residents claimed that there were military training flights or bombing exercises over the Pacific at that time.
Loggers and military men. This right? is heaven.
August 7th, 1994 is the very first occurrence, and you'll find out what type of occurrence this is. So overnight to early morning, which was around 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning, a night rain shower began. You know, just a nice little shower at night. Well, Officer David Lacey was a local policeman, and he noticed that his windshield wipers were smearing, not just flicking off the water. And he noticed that there was this unusual gelatinous substance, this gel-like substance that was much thicker than rain.
Shit.
By daylight, residents found this clear or milky white blobs that were all over their vehicles, rooftops, sidewalks, and all the other surfaces.
Gross.
They were described as sort of jelly-like. They were slimy and somewhat translucent. They ranged from the size of grains of rice all the way up to quarter-inch lumps. A woman named Dottie Hearn, who was an Oakville resident, reportedly touched these blobs and soon developed Gross. Symptoms like dizziness, nausea, and fatigue. Ew. She was taken to the local hospital, and it started raising early concerns throughout the community that these substances might be toxic or infectious. A few locals suspected that there was some sort of chemical or biological warfare that was happening. Others assumed it was a freak weather event that might have occurred. Regardless, though, samples were collected of this gel substance, and they were put into jars or some plastic containers that some local residents started collecting the substance in. Between August 8th to August 12th, there were multiple sightings of this event continually happening.
Was it always in the same area?
It was always in the city area. Reports indicate that the blobs rained down again on at least two or three other occasions throughout the days following that initial event. Observers described the exact same texture and appearance every time. The rain of this blobs would increase in numbers, and more neighbors were reporting flu-like symptoms with complaints of dizziness, breathing difficulty, and just this general feeling of not feeling well. People began to avoid going outside when they noticed any unusual precipitation. Someone named Sunny Barclift, Dottie Hearn's daughter, took a sample to the local hospital for analysis. Mike McDowell, a lab technician, claimed to have found white blood cells when he was examining the substance. Mm. So, of course, white blood cells would be something that would be in a mammal. Samples were also forwarded to the Washington State Department of Health, although they never came out and said what they found publicly. Throughout mid-August in 1994, newspapers in Grays Harbor County and surrounding areas were covering the story. They started interviewing residences and local officials. And then, so the officer that I first mentioned, Officer David Lacey, hit that entire windshield incident had been featured prominently in all of those early news reports. And speculation started about possible military involvement. They also thought, well, could it be jellyfish remains or biological warfare testing? To add to the confusion, there were a lot of conflicting lab results of all of the analysis. Some tests showed there were living cells inside of this substance, while others found non-living matter. So there was no cells in some of the testing, and there were cells in some of the testing. Concern persisted about whether the blobs were linked to that wave of illness that was coming across the small town. By late August in 1994, the sightings started dwindling. Fewer news reports of blob rainfall were coming in toward that date, the end of August. Most of the gelatinous material evaporated or dissolved, which left only a handful of saved samples that people put in jars or in freezers. Residents like Sunny Barcliffe continued to search for explanations, but official agencies offered no definite public statement. The event started to transition from active crisis to an enduring unsolved mystery as time went on. After 94, the Oakville blobs gained attention from national and even international media, notably where I first heard of it. It was featured on Unsolved Mysteries by Robert Stack. And that feature on Unsolved Mysteries really boosted its profile, especially among the true crime and paranormal communities. The segment featured interviews with locals and also dramatizations of the falling blobs, which really solidified this entire story in public culture. I remember watching it on Unsolved Mysteries when I was a child, and I'm assuming it was probably when it was first airing, because it probably aired in like 96, 97, and that's when I probably would have started watching Unsolved Mysteries. So I remember it very clearly, but even to this day, they have no idea what caused it, what it was, because all the lab reports were displaying different things.
Well, with weather, it's difficult too, because I mean, just because it rained down there, that storm, whatever it's called, could have came from anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Amazon, it's nourished by the Sahara Desert all the way across the world from it. And all those, you know, tiny particles just get up in the air current and fly halfway around the globe.
Right.
So, I mean, that could have came from... picked up anywhere from the middle of the ocean to...
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
When we get to Unmasked, I have more in-depth theories of what it could have been, more testing and things like that. But for right now, I'm going to start my shit fire story.
Yeehaw!
Shit far! All right, folks. Well, let's head on down to Tampa, Florida. In 2003, a well-known millionaire lived there named Douglas Cohn. And he was living what seemed to be a perfectly successful and respectable life. Douglas, which I hate that name, was a construction magnate. He was a philanthropist, a pillar of the community. He was well respected by everyone.
Sounds like an upstanding guy.
Mm-hmm. He was a man who appeared to have it all, a lot of money. But that was to the outside world. They all thought of him as a devoted husband of his wife of 52 years and a loving father to their children. But then it happened. Shit far and save the matches. Douglas passed away. And at his funeral, it was revealed that he had been secretly maintaining a second entire family for 20 years.
Jesus. 20 years?
Complete with another wife. And kids.
Oh, geez.
Neither family knew about the other until they met during that fallout at his funeral.
Oh, my God.
After his death.
What a dick.
Can you imagine showing up to someone's funeral and being like, yeah, this is my husband. I'm
the no hell way, he right? is?
No, he's my husband.
Well, I've got kids with him. Right? Me too.
Oh, my God.
I mean, can you imagine that drama?
I've read...
Shit far.
I think it was a comedian I watched. He was talking about after his... grandpa died, come to find out he had a secret second family children. But the worst part was he had named his second children the exact same name as his first children.
You're kidding.
No.
Smart, easy to remember.
That's true. I mean, that's probably how it got away with right. it so long. But he had like a boy and a girl from both wives and just gave them all the same name.
Now, if he was smart, both wives would also have the same name.
Right.
Because that would be the easy option. All right, but that's all I have until we get into our unmasked theories.
Good gracious.
I know.
Well, everybody, if you see someone in a car you don't like, just keep driving.
Just keep driving.
Don't follow them to the door. That's
you're right.
Creepy. That's creepy.
Well, like, that's just, yeah, it is.
That's probably the same type of man that would do that to a woman to hoot and holler at her.
And I guarantee you these type of people would not, like if they had a problem, they wouldn't confront you in person.
Oh, no.
They're just keyboard warriors who just
find you
to be
on Facebook.
Right. Just do a drive-by real quick so I can't get
you. Well, now you know what it's like to be me. You walk into a store and you hear, fag, where?
You noticed how...
Fudge Packer.
I like
that
your
one's
blanket,
my least
Cam.
Favorite. I'm like, Butchbacker. You think I'm a top? How dare you?
I think it's about done.
Oh, yeah. It's getting big. Are you going to sell that one?
I'm on the fence.
Oh, you should. I think that our listeners would appreciate that.
So here's the problem with it. One end is bigger than the other end because I was dropping stitches and I didn't notice.
It's imperfect.
Yeah.
Like you, Kim.
Definitely imperfect.
You're imperfect. It's a signature.
Turn it around. Let them see the decorated side.
Oh, yeah.
Look how pretty.
That is very pretty.
I thought that I would try to compensate that a little bit by leaving these a little longer, making these to where it shows the exact same size. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what you should do? I would definitely sell it. But then also, when you go to start your next one, you should do a poll on Patreon to let them vote.
I already have my next one almost. I'll have this one and the next one. They'll be a lot closer than what this one was from the last one.
Okay.
Just because I couldn't, when I started working, I couldn't work on this in my car because it was too hot.
Oh, yeah.
So I went ahead and started another project.
That makes sense.
So I have the biggest part of it
finished. That's awesome.
It has to be, I mean, I still need to do some granny squares, but it just needs to be put together and it'll be done.
I would love for you to do more of those mystery ink blankets. I think that was
so. You want me to do another one?
Yeah, because that is probably the favorite, and I want one. But that was probably one of my favorite blankets I've ever seen. It was so impressive. I know it took a lot of time and a lot of yarn and stuff, but it was so cool.
I'm not sure that they even sell the same color now. I could make some pillows. I still have enough yarn that I could probably make 4 or 5 pillows.
Oh, yeah, you should do that then.
And I'd just buy the, pillows that are already done that you just have to cover and just make covers and put it in the cover.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I could do that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you on Unmasked. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media. I'm about to sneeze.
At you! He's concentrating so hard not to do it.
No, I'm trying to do it so I can get it over with, but it's not coming. But anyway, join us on Unmasked, and we're going to have all the fun, and we get all nice and dirty and roughed up. So we'll see you guys there.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.